live from Modi'in, Israel, Hanok Young. And what's going on in your life over there? It seems like a lot.
A lot going on. But, you know, I did get a couple of notes asking me to clarify certain points last week when we were in a hurry. I kind of, you know, mentioned a couple of things very quickly, and I was asked to fill that in a little bit. In my hurry to barely mention Purim, I mentioned that Anita Esther was on Friday. That wasn't the case. It was Thursday. But anyway, so someone wrote to me and said, "You don't seem to be terribly thrilled with Purim." And the response to that is, "No, I am not." Out of all of the festivals on our calendar, Purim has never meant very much to me. And I'll give a quick explanation why. Number one, we need to understand the timeline of when Purim happened. The Babylonian exile begins in 586 before the Common Era. 70 years later, and again, you're before the Common Era, so you're subtracting dates. 70 years later, Koresh Cyrus makes proclamation, "Yo, Jews, y'all could go back." A tiny bit go. They rebuild the temple. I mean, this is big time stuff. The rest of Babylon. Babylon becomes Persia, part of Persia. So we're now more than 100 years after that, and we've got the story of Mordechai and Esther. So these are the news. Now, again, remember, Purim is the only festival that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael, outside the land of Israel. You've got Jews who lived in an era where they could return to Israel and rebuild the temple. Right now we're studying Sefer Vayikra, the third book of the Torah. In rabbinic literature, it's referred to as Torat Kohanim, the Torah of the Kohanim, of the priests. It's all about the Beit HaMikdash. It's all about the temple and the precursor to the temple, the Mishkan, the tabernacle. So that's part of my issues with Purim. It is also celebrated by getting drunk. As the child of an alcoholic, I've never taken the concept of drinking lightly. I personally have never been drunk. I also lived in an Irish Catholic neighborhood where it seemed that the precursor to try to kill us Jews, they would get drunk. So I don't relate to it. I don't relate to it at all. And the idea that we're going to eat pastries, you know, named after Haman, it's like, you know, yeah, you know, we're going to eat you up, kind of. Anyway, so that's.
It was fascinating because, you know, we've known each other for 10 years now, and some of the things that we figured out about each other along the way, it's like, you know, oh, you're not into Masada, you're more into Gamla, and so you're not really into Purim. And but I never, you know, what you just said there, I had never put together that this is a festival about a bunch of Jews who
Who
refused to go back
chose?
to Israel.
Yeah. And this is when their government offered to provide assistance to make it possible for the rebuilding of the temple. This is the antithesis of everything that I have understood the Jewish people to stand for. Now,
This is like the American Jews today and trying to, you know, yes, you can leave. Yes, you can go back and help. Yeah, no, we don't want to do that because we just started a business. You know, it's just
well,
crazy.
it's no, and I have to say, and this is something that I said quickly last time, also that someone asked me about, because they said, I'm confused, do you believe that the majority of American Jews love Israel or don't love Israel? And what I thought I said last time, and I went back and checked, that's when I caught that I said that the fast of Esther was Friday when it was Thursday. It's not an issue. They neither love Israel nor don't love Israel. It's, the fact that they are Jewish by birth and they see perhaps, so, what's interesting, it's the Jew haters that make them see the connection. They don't.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Interesting.
okay.
Interesting. Okay.
So big things that happened on Purim, though, here, is relating to the Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount. So again, I always love to share statistics that otherwise people wouldn't see or hear. On Sunday, which was Purim for all of Israel except for Jerusalem, we had 102 Jews ascend the Temple Mount.
Wow.
Monday, which is what we call Shushan Purim, that is the celebration of Purim in any city that had been walled at the time of Joshua. So we've got Jerusalem, and there's a question mark of whether Shiloh fits into that category too. So it's a question mark. So I did not go up on Sunday, my regular day, but I went up on Monday, and we had 288 Jews go,
Wow.
which is a total in 2 days of 390, which is an increase of 28.3% over this time last year.
Oh.
So that's fabulous.
Good.
The problem is, it's in the shadow of last Friday,
Yeah.
120,000 Muslims up on the Temple Mount. So this is, and it's interesting because it's okay. We're right now in the very last few days of March. So we've got April, May. So basically, I'm back in America in about 11 weeks, which seems to me to be a really short period of time. I've never been in the situation that I'm in now where I'm getting requests to come somewhere, but it's too far out of the loop of where I normally go, and I'm unfortunately not able to honor it this time. But as I'm working on elements of the presentation, a lot of which faces, which faces, let me try this in English, which focuses on the Temple Mount, I'm thinking of all these things. I'm not sure what it's going to take to make it an issue that burns in the heart and soul of not only the Jewish people, but all of those around the world who do love us,
It's funny when you mention your numbers of you're almost 300, right?
It's 390.
Okay, so you got 10 more to get to Gideon's army. Can't
Wow,
remember.
that puts me in rare company, I have to tell you.
Yeah, and I
That
can't
really
remember
does.
how many he was going up against on the other side, but it's when you get into those large numbers, it's kind of can be
Oh, no.
irrelevant at that point.
No,
So, hey,
absolutely.
you guys are, I guess I'll have to come over and see if I can I can boost your numbers a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty wild all in all. Okay, so what's going on? What's going on is the betrayal by the American government
Oh.
has been taken to a new level. They did not veto a resolution in the UN Security Council,
Yeah.
which was horrifically embarrassing to us. Tremendous letdown, tremendous encouragement to Hamas. Once again, Israel keeps coming up with these insane, insane offers for ceasefires. We have offered between 700 and 800 terrorists, convicted, with Jewish blood on their hands, murderers, to release them to get 40 hostages. And Hamas has turned it down. Kamala Harris is the version of the good cop, bad cop, in the American administration when it comes to Israel. And she's saying things what the administration believes, which enables Biden to, you know, kind of cloak it. The idea that they, the Brits, the everyone is saying there are, you know, it's a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And no one is saying if only Hamas could release the hostages, it's over. And it's just the entire world. Here it is. We had a major terrorist attack in Moscow a few days ago. And in the social media, ISIS claimed credit for it. But there are people who actually believe that Israel pulls the strings like a puppet master on ISIS. I'm waiting for Israel to be blamed for that bridge that was destroyed in Baltimore.
You mean you didn't do that?
We've been a little distracted.
Yeah. Okay. I know. I got that. You know, this whole thing with Kamala and Biden, and I looked at the woman they have there at the United Nations, and I thought, wow, they had to go a long ways, you know, into the down to get that. Just saying. But this is a new step. This is another step in the United States turning against Israel. And there's quite a bit of evidence that our favorite pal, Chucky, or Chuckles, who's, by the way, Moshe Kempinski put up a meme on Facebook that said that Schumer means like worthless one or something. I thought it was great. So it just really nailed him. But there's a lot of evidence that that speech he gave was pretty much written by the White House for him to do. So, you know, we know where it's all going. Okay. We know where it's going. And anybody that believes that America is going to stand with Israel, yes, the population got it. The government, absolutely not. No way.
Yeah, you know, so again, we turn to people, and I mean, one of the things that I wonder, you know, when people write and say, wow, did you hear? No, it's like, no, I didn't hear about the UN Security Council resolution. You know, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that meme from Instagram. I wouldn't have known. And then I ask, have you written to your elected representatives? And there's a very long pause before they write back and say, no, I haven't. Well, prayer, political activism are among two of the constants that everyone should be doing. It doesn't cost anything. So people can't say money's a little tight this month.
Yeah.
You know? I just bought a new house, and I've got all these payments to the lawyers and the inspectors and the pest control people and that stuff. So, you know, it's life is going on, and we will get through this. But it really is interesting to see who's on which side.
Yeah. It is. It is. So I woke up with the news that about 30 rockets coming out of the north. One of them killed someone in Kiryat Shemona.
Yeah, one of our Jewish citizens. Yes.
Others have been injured. You know, for those who have a map of Israel, and you know, as you're talking about what people should be doing, there should not be a single person right now that does not have a map of Israel on their wall somewhere. Take a look at Kiryat Shemona and where that is in regards to the Galilee, Kinneret, to Tiberias. You know, start watching, see how far down into the land these rockets are going, understanding that there are, what, 140,000, 150,000 that can go much farther than that.
Really,
let's face it, hold on. They could send a rocket from, you know, God forbid, they could be hitting Jerusalem right now if they wanted to.
There's no doubt about it. They have that capability many times over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real challenge for Israel how we handle it. In the meantime, the irony is the positioning of the American government is so clear that it's like, well, if it wasn't for Netanyahu, we'd be like really, you know, America would be really tight with Israel. That's not the case.
No.
I don't think they realize or they even care how much of Israel is behind the efforts to destroy our enemies. This is not a war that we chose. We weren't even anywhere prepared for it.
And
there will be hell to pay for that.
You know,
the head of military intelligence has already announced that he's going to be stepping down. Mm-hmm. Everybody is taking responsibility except for the one person that's sitting on top, and that's Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, of course.
And so he's going to have to be dragged out kicking and screaming.
Pretty much. I was talking with our local sheriff the other day, and we were just discussing what's going on there. And I looked at him and said, you know, if they're not winning there, we're going to have to fight the battle here. And he looked at me and said, I know. And it's great to have a person, you know, in a law enforcement capacity that understands that. So it's, and I just watched a video this morning on JTV, and it was interesting because they were talking about the number of things that are going on in the world. You've got Haiti, you've got Ukraine, you've got Syria, China, you know, all of these places that is horrendous, humanitarian disasters there. But yet the place that has, as they were saying, the most precision, strategically positioned war, or precision war that has ever been fought, probably on planet Earth, is being done right now. But yet we're being shown the same pictures of the lines in Gaza. We're being shown the same picture of a little child that is not starving. No, he has a disease. And we're not being shown the pictures of what was happening during Ramadan with the massive amount of food that was available on the streets of Gaza.
It is astounding. It is absolutely astounding. Russia invaded Ukraine. Someone asked me, you know, I guess I had mentioned when I said last week that supporters of Israel outside of the Jewish community in particular have seemingly gotten weary.
Mm-hmm.
They don't post things on social media. They don't contact people in Israel. I mean, people would be astounded at how few emails and messages I personally get.
With
all the people that I know.
I know that.
Years. And what I meant to clarify about Russia is, here it is, Russia invades Ukraine over 2 years ago. Countless people in Ukraine have suffered. Do you even hear about it?
No.
I mean, I mentioned this to someone in a note, and they wrote back and said, is that war still going on?
Wow.
So, you know, talk about it out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, true. But I have to say in the midst of this, that I want to say thank you to those who have been so loyal in the
Absolutely.
last 6 months. We're coming up on day 180 real fast. And there's been people that have supported Israel through Join to Hashem.
Absolutely.
We just sent a mega amount of money to the land
Wonderful.
within the last 7 days to two different
Fabulous.
places. And we're able to do that because the people are giving. And I want to say,
Wonderful.
because I received an email the other day from someone, and I appreciate them contacting me regarding this, about an organization in Israel that was this giving. I really don't make any determination. The only one that I will tell people publicly to not give to is that one on television at night. And do
Agreed.
they do some good things? Yes. If I had the money they do, boy, we'd change some things. But and it wouldn't be going in my pocket either. But
No.
that's another story. So I really don't make a public statement regarding ministries, because I don't have time to track everybody down and what they're doing and is it the right thing to do? Okay, all I can do is tell people what we do. And so if anybody wants more of a detail of where money is going to, please understand I have some limits of what I can say, and
Sure.
pictures on my phone that I've been told I can never share outside of somebody standing there next to me. I can just tell people what we do and what you do. I know that you are, to the best of your ability, incredibly active in giving to the needs.
Yeah. Whatever I can.
Of course, you are a need.
And that's the irony. I mean, when you think about it, we are 3 months into 2024. This is the end of the first quarter. Israel has already spent 64% of our annual budget. First quarter of the year, 64% of total funds. The amount of reconstruction, the amount of people who will need medical and psychological help, the fact that we don't have 35 hospitals in our country like they have in Gaza, 12
Yours
miles.
are all
I mean,
yours are actually staffed with doctors and nurses, though, is the difference.
We don't store RPGs there. Kalashnikovs or mines. Yeah, I know. It's we're a little old fashioned that way. So the challenges are great. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that even despite ourselves, Hashem will lead us where we need to be. Now, when I was in America recently, people asked me how I saw this war ending. And I said at the time that I believed this is not what I was hoping, but I believed there would be a negotiated end to it. I don't believe we're going to get to do what it is that we need to do. We're still
Definitely
not in Rafiah. Still,
Yeah, I know.
still.
Yeah,
I
you're. They've been talking about this for 2 weeks or more, but they had a deadline of when they're going to do this, and they didn't, which.
And we still have the issue of what's called the Philadelphia corridor. That's from Gaza to Egypt on the border. We know that a massive amount of weapon smuggling goes on.
Oh yeah.
So, it's crazy. And of course, the American government has their own agenda,
And
and it doesn't align
their
with
own
what we need to do.
problems.
Yeah.
You know, one of them is trying to lock Trump up, but that's another subject. Let me throw one out at you from left field here. Probably a little early for this comment, but the war began October 7, which was at the end of Sukkot. Here we are coming up on Pesach. You know, over the last years, Pesach has been very much different. We'll go back to COVID and all that happened there. What do you foresee Pesach looking like in Israel this year?
I mean, the fact that we have several hundred thousand soldiers mobilized and are fighting.
Yeah.
And or are at the Lebanese border facing Hezbollah, are active throughout Yosh, Judea, and Samaria, that are countering the Syrians, the Iraqis, the Houthis from Yemen. It's going to be a Pesach like every Pesach, but the fact that our troops remain mobilized and fighting.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I can say that we are working with, making sure that the soldiers have what they need for Pesach.
Yeah, it's, you know, it again, there are, from the very beginning of the war, the spirit here in Israel has been amazing.
Yeah.
Where, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this, where we had popular non-kosher restaurants in Tel Aviv becoming kosher, which is an arduous process.
Yeah.
It's not just simply, you know, shuffling a few different dishes one way or the other.
And expensive.
Just so they can provide things publicly to our soldiers.
Yeah.
So it's amazing things, amazing people. I cry for our hostages. They're in horrific shape. Now, until a week or so ago, our most prominent government spokesperson was this guy, Elon Levy. Mm-hmm. British educated, brilliant guy, great spokesperson. He countered something the British government said. He was suspended, and just today I read he was fired by our government. He had crossed paths previously with Sarah Netanyahu, the puppet master behind Bibi Netanyahu, and his tenure was going to end. But I caught an online seminar that he gave last week where he mentioned that it was common knowledge in the government that out of the 134 hostages, 35 had already been killed. Okay. We still speak of 134 hostages. Mm-hmm. There are not even 100 of them remaining alive.
Yeah. And that was going to be a question I was going to ask you, by the way, of how many do you think, or is there any intel of how many may be still alive?
Okay, so as of last week, we were using the number 99.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, when you still see the charts, this is 134. But just today it was announced that it you know, they had definitive proof that another hostage was killed and his body is being held.
That to me, Hanok, I read that, and there's something about, okay, war, hostages, all of those things. But when you refuse to give back a dead body, what good is that dead body to you? It's nothing. But when you refuse to at least honor a dead body, you know, how is that body being kept? What is being done with that body, to that body?
The bodies of two of our soldiers from several years ago still being held.
The body of Eli Cohen.
The world, okay, but that's not Hamas.
Yeah, but I mean, Syria. that's still the same group of people, you know, technically with heritage there, lineage.
Yeah, the thing that's astounding, it no longer surprises me that the world doesn't care. And when I say the world, I have to include a lot of people that you and I know who just don't care. It's not an issue for them.
Yeah, I know.
You know, they're worse than the majority of American Jews because they knew better.
Yeah.
Especially the people that have encountered you and I and a handful of others over the years, they know better. The fact that everyone has become so callous and generally inhumane.
Well,
when children can be raped and tortured.
Yeah. And nobody cares. Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
You know, consider the biblical mindset, which is Joseph said, make sure you don't leave my bones here. And yeah, the lengths that it took
to
carry
those. Now we have a whole way of understanding that.
Yeah. The lengths it took to carry those bones for 40 years, you know, who's got Joseph? It'd be like, you know, where's Elizabeth? And that's a private joke. you know, who's got Joseph? But then you have on the other side that of that a demonic mindset that says we won't even give you the bones back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. All amazing.
Right. Well, hey, appreciate your time, your insights.
Of course. Listen, just one other thing. The hours on the Temple Mount for visitation during Ramadan have been shortened. Only 7 to 11 in the morning. And over the next couple of days, it will be shut down to Jews. Standard thing under the Netanyahu administration. People say, what do you have against this guy? That the last 10 days of Ramadan, the Temple Mount is Judenfrei, Jew-free. So this is a big thing.
Yeah, we're people might have heard those words. They came out of Nazi Germany from the mouth of Hitler.
That's right.
Yep.
On a much happier note, hang in there, guys. We will get through this together.
You got that right. All right. See you next week, man.
See ya. Bye-bye.